As Michigan struggles its way back to economic health, there's a lot of talk about innovators, entrepreneurs, and risk takers being a big part of that recovery. And all of that fits right in with Michigan's history. Writer R.J. King recently wrote a piece for dbusiness.com looking at Michigan's history of innovations and inventions. Hey, R.J.
How are you, Cynthia?
Good, good. So the first innovation that you show us in this really interesting timeline goes all the way back to 1829. So that means inventors were actually hard at work before Michigan was even a state. Tell us about the typographer and its inventor.
Well, a typographer was invented by a judge who was a surveyor by trade, Judge William Austin of Washington Township, which is northern Macomb County. And basically, it was an early version of a fax machine. It had a roll of paper on it and typeset, and could do capital and small letters. The problem was it was a good machine. It was just the inability to mass produce it because the industrial age had not yet caught up to this invention, and it really took another 40 years until three guys in Wisconsin came out with a typewriter.
Okay, but there you had it. This Michigan judge who was also a surveyor, so he was a man of many talents. So he really put the basics together that led to the typewriter.
Yes, and they actually built a replica of that typographer that was first shown at the 1893 Chicago World's Fair, and now it's housed at the Smithsonian.
Now, another innovation. We think about Big Pharma as such a major player in the nation's business community now in 2014. And here it turns out that the world's first pharmaceutical research lab and clinical trials for new medications began in Michigan with Parke Davis and Company.
Yes. People today might recognize the location as Stroh River Place, roughly between downtown Detroit and Belle Isle, right along the Detroit River. And Parke Davis had many, many drug discoveries, but they were the first to have a formalized research laboratory and the first to formally test drugs in a uniform manner.
So who knew? The world's first pharmaceutical research lab has Michigan roots. And another surprise to me was anyone who grew up in Southeast Michigan, chances are very good you took a school field trip or a family trip to go to Greenfield Village and the Henry Ford Museum. So we're aware of that. Of course, today it's called the Henry Ford. But until I saw your story for dbusiness, it never came together for me that this is really the world's first theme park.
It really is. Henry Ford spent several years in the 1920s collecting Americana. He had come from a farm and saw that industrialization was sort of erasing that form of lifestyle. So anybody that's been there has seen everything from locomotives to automobiles to farming equipment to, you know, homes from Daniel Webster, and Thomas Edison has his the original Menlo Research Laboratory is there. Also in the 1950s, Walt Disney visited, and part of what you see whether you go to Disney World or Disneyland is the basic setup of a theme park, which is a train that circles the theme park. And then inside you see a main street, very much like you see at Greenfield Village. And,
sure.
Really, you know, launch that whole industry.
That is something else. It certainly has when you think of the theme parks that are around today. I am speaking with writer R.J. King, a piece that is in dbusiness, the April issue of dbusiness.com, looking at Michigan's history of innovations and inventions. And there are so many things you would never realize have Michigan roots, such as the iconic NASA Mission Control Center in Houston. Now, how does that have Michigan roots?
Well, back in the late 1950s, Ford Motor Company came out with the Edsel. It bombed.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Ford II, following that, was looking to diversify Ford Motor Company. So they bought in 1961 a company called Philco. And Philco supplied electronics and had existing contracts with NASA. And that company went on to design the Houston Research Space Center and many of the systems that went on there and were very involved in those first Gemini and Apollo missions.
Didn't Philco make a lot of, like, transistor radios and televisions as well?
They sure did. Refrigerators, appliances, car radios, And then, of course, they had a very large aerospace division.
That's quite amazing. I think I may have had a Philco transistor radio with the little cord snaking it behind my ear, hiding it in seventh grade so sister wouldn't see me listening to the radio, so I could thank Philco for that. You know, when we think of Henry Ford, people often mistakenly think of him as the father of the automobile. But as you point out in your piece for D Business, we really should give proper credit to the man who developed the first horseless carriage, the first motorized vehicle in Detroit, and that was Charles Brady King. Tell us a little about him.
Well, he was sort of a jack of all trades. He was an investor in a number of industries, had a very good mechanical background. He developed the quadricycle in 1896. Just a few months before Henry Ford did. And in fact, Charles was so nice that he actually loaned Henry some of the components to make his quadricycle go. Charles went into the automotive industry. He was the developer of the early V8 engine and was just quite the man about town in the late 1800s.
I'm going to roll way ahead to 1985. I was absolutely astonished to see that something that is used widely used around the world is Photoshop, and it turns out we have a couple of Ann Arbor brothers to thank for Photoshop.
Yeah, it was quite a system. Tom Knoll wrote the coding, and he stayed in Ann Arbor. His brother John went out to Silicon Valley, California, and he was working for Industrial Light and Magic.
Oh, George Lucas's company.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he was able to market it out there while Tom stayed back and finished the code, and they eventually got a company to take it on. Interestingly enough, the company that took it on, Adobe, they should have probably bought the system outright, but they decided to lease it from them, and because of that, the Knoll brothers made millions and millions of dollars.
Mm-mm-mm. And finally, speaking of something that has had truly worldwide impact, the modern hospital bed came from a Michigan inventor?
Yes. The Stryker, Homer Stryker, Dr. Homer Stryker. Stryker today in Kalamazoo is just a huge industrial medical conglomerate. But he had many early inventions, including the modern hospital bed, but also the oscillating electric saw to cut and remove casts, and a number of other innovations as well, sort of a rubber heel that he used for walking casts.
Okay.
Prior to that, it was like an iron stub, which I don't think would have been very comfortable at all.
I think not. Not at all. And they've gone, it is a huge corporation. When we hear of Stryker Corporation, so many medical devices and instruments, and it all came down to a graduate of U of M's medical school, and then he moves to Kalamazoo.
Yeah, it was quite a story, and I think three of the Stryker families today annually make the billionaires list put out by Forbes.
It's a very, very interesting piece in the April edition of dbusiness.com, Invention Factory, and we've been talking with writer R.J. King. Thanks so much for showing us all the inventions and breakthroughs with Michigan Ties, R.J.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.